Well, smarter websites. Yeah, we're talking about high-performance websites today, about how you make your website actually make your money, not just a colour brochure. So if you're a business owner and you've got a website and thinking, oh, I get people visit it and no results, this show is going to be for you. Welcome to District 32's Business Insiders. And I'm Michael Worthington, and our very special guest this week is Mr. Peter Butler from Smarter Websites. How are you, Peter?
Good. Great to be on the call with you, Michael.
Fantastic. Look, I really appreciate you taking your time. I know you've been really busy. A little birdie just told me you came back from a very special conference or something over Eastern States.
I did, yes. Look, I've got 6 states to visit this year, so it's a massive year.
Wow, unbelievable. Look, we're going to get into smarter websites, high-performing websites, websites that actually do give you results. So I want to get into that. But there's a lot of business people out there, you know, and they hear all these stories, you know, you've got to get it perfect, you've got to launch. And it's just interesting to hear from people like yourselves who've had great success, but where you actually started from. And I understand you didn't actually start off your career in websites.
No, not at all. In fact, my previous business, which I sold in 2005, in that business, I tried 3 times to get a website built, and nobody completed the project. It was a nightmare.
Oh, my goodness.
My learning in that is graphic designers, gorgeous people, love them to death. I have a great team of graphic designers, but by their very nature, because they're creative, they're not structured and organized, and that's what you need. A website is a web, it's a project. You know, It literally is a project, and yes, there's graphical components, but it's not all about that.
No.
So that sort of, when I sold a business in 2005, it was like, okay, what am I now going to do? What's going to be my next journey? Well, In selling that business, which I used to work for all the rich and famous people in Perth.
What were you doing?
Well, look, this is going to blow you apart. You're going to see the transition, right? So I used to look after all the rich people's gardens. So garden maintenance. Yeah, so it was a good job. It was regular, so I had the continuity of income, plus they were wealthy. So whatever happened in the world, they were the last ones affected. Ergo, so was I.
Well, they were good client base.
Yeah. So it was a good business model. However, I kept on losing people to the mining industry, and I asked myself, do I want to be doing this in 10 years? And the answer was no. So I sold the business, took a year off, decided there's 2 things the new business model had to meet, which was it had to be portable and scalable. Portable, as in I could work from anywhere. Scalable, as in keep it small or grow big.
There's one thing you just mentioned. Sorry, Peter, to interrupt you. There's one thing you mentioned there. You were talking about your business, and it was a secure income, and now here you are, you're going to launch another business. And I think this stops a lot of business people moving, is just this fear of insecurity. I'm just curious, when you mentioned that, how did you overcome that? Or was it the confidence because you'd already built a business once?
A combination. I think I've been in 4 different industries. So I used to manage in the tire and exhaust center industry, garden center industry. I used to manage for Waldex. So I sort of had management experience, and I knew that I could, you know, adapt myself. This was a little daunting because, you know, I didn't even know how to turn a computer off. You know, you have to hold that on button for a long time. So I knew nothing, but I literally bought an audiobook website. Now, this is the same year that iTunes was launched. And I locked myself away for a whole year, like literally 7 days, 7 nights, just worked furiously hard to educate myself on how this whole thing worked. You know, because I tried to launch a website. I could see that I was gifted at marketing. I targeted a niche audience, built up a really good business model. I thought, I like this marketing stuff. And that's essentially what I am now. I'm quite techie. I'm quite graphical. I'm quite everything. But essentially, I'm a marketer. That's what I do. I see the opportunities. I see the gaps. And so I locked myself away for a year and got that business up and running. It was quite solid. However, iTunes, pretty hard to beat. So that's... I was making pocket money in the end, and so relaunched into what is now Smarter Websites and Smarter CRM.
You mentioned something then. I think it's interesting. You know, on the channel, we had a lot of business people asking skill sets that they may need to go into business. Mm. And you just mentioned one there that you said was your real key there, and that is marketing. Mm. What do you say to people who don't have skills in marketing? Going, well, hold on, I'm going to have a business, but I don't know anything about marketing. Do you engage people, or do you learn it? What would you say?
Well, look, I mean, it's just a matter of, I mean, you said a key word there, engaging. Really, marketing is engaging with people. Yes, there's lots of, technical stuff nowadays with social media and SEO, search engine optimization stuff, all of those marketing attributes or aspects. However, the thing is just connecting with people. Look, it's the same as in sales. You know, some people, I'm not a salesman like you. You know, even when I was in the tire and exhaust industry, well, I didn't consider myself a salesperson. I'm an educator. So I have conversations with people because I have knowledge about my area of expertise, and I'm simply outlining options for people. Now, there is some technical aspect to what we do, of course, but, yes. You know, we've got a saying, we do what you can't do, but we help you do what you can do, because there is a lot of activity that business owners can take to further the cause for their own businesses.
I love that. Can you repeat that for the listeners? I absolutely love that.
What's that? We do what you can't do and help you do what you can do.
Yeah, that's it.
yeah, that part. Yeah. And look, it works well and people love it because some agencies tend to, I'm not sure what the word is, that they sort of try and hold all the cards and you know, so that you'll be holden to them. And we would rather be transparent. Let's say, as an example, we're optimizing a Google business profile. Massive opportunity there for business owners, right? Just is. You know, you start using the Google tools, well, Google are going to play the game with you. We've got a saying for that too. Play the game with Google and Google will play the game with you. But in that optimizing, so we optimize all these attributes, and I think we've got 9 system messages that get sent out. Hey, we've just done this, and this is why we've done this, and these are the actions you can now take that will then enhance that. And then message number 2 goes out. And so we're doing the activities they can't do, but also showing them what other activities they can do, because the end result is they're going to get better results.
Yes.
And they're going to be happier campers. They're going to become ambassadors for our business.
Yeah.
So, makes sense?
Absolutely. When you give a year date when you actually got into websites, and I can remember back then, if my computer started playing up, I turned it off and rebooted the thing to get it
going. Hey, still applicable today. But yeah, go on.
and I can remember websites back then. And impressive wouldn't be the word I would use. How did you go about it back then when you were so limited on it? What were your websites like?
Oh, look, okay, that's just a little bit awkward. wish you hadn't have asked. So
welcome to the show.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you. So initially we've always built in WordPress, and we will only ever build in WordPress. I'm not interested in any of the other platforms. Look, WordPress has something like a 44% market share of all the websites on the planet. Wow. As in every website on the planet, 44% are in WordPress. Of all the content managed systems, WordPress has a 63% market share. Now, when I started back in 06, 07, they only had a 10% share and Joomla had an 11% share. Joomla's now, I think, 2. So we made the right call. But we used a particular platform. So it's WordPress, but it was called Genesis.
Yes.
And Genesis had themes, and we could pick a theme that closest matched the client's requirements. However, a lot of the business owners we were dealing with initially were professionals. So whether it was a mortgage broker, financial planner, or the like, HR, the requirements were all very similar. So we tended to use one theme style. And because my knowledge was limited, they could have any color as long as it was one of 7 that was preset in the system.
So you were a bit better than Ford when he brought out, you can have any color palette. It was black. You give them 7 colors.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, as long as it was from the palette. So And it was another business owner who mentioned to me, somebody said to him, "Oh, I recognise that. That's one of Peter's sites." I was like, okay, we need to look at this. And now, you know, this is why people should never hold back, you know, circling back to an earlier comment you made about moving forward in business. Mm. You know, we've got the knowledge we've got, and we do the best that we can, and, you know, we provide a stellar service now. Mm. And it was always stellar because our heart was in it. We just didn't have the knowledge of the insights, but we moved forward anyway.
Yes.
And, you know, we've gone from me in a back room locked away for 7 days, seven nights, to having a part-time tech 4 hours a week, and that had to be between 10 and 2 o'clock, the grumpy bugger. He wouldn't want to start early and he didn't want to work late. And then he went to 2 4-hour days. Last year, at the beginning of the year, we had a team of 6, and now we've got a team of 12.
Wow. You know, one of the things I always say in business, you know, people, I always say, look, you've got to, if you don't start, you won't win.
Exactly.
And if you don't stop, you won't fail. But I always say, it's like you look at your skill set. And one of the things I always say to people, when you get a skill set, then you've always got to have a renewal program built in, where you're going to learn, where you're going to expand, where you're going to keep improving. Mm. And you really do echo that. I've listened to you on several occasions, and you're continually pushing the envelope, continually learning. Is that just something in you? Is it something you learned you had to do, or is it just a passion?
Look, I think the last word sums it up rather well. It's a passion. Mm. Some people call it OCD. I prefer to think of myself as passionate. But look, I do by nature have very high attention to detail, but I also have a knowledge to learn, but I also take that and then I implement systems. You know, for example, circling back to my Google Business mentioned earlier, mm-hmm. you know, those 9 messages, they're out of a system that I developed. So that was me initially in a backyard, or not a backyard, back room, and, you know, mapping out all of the steps and then doing that for the clients, like me personally. And then I took that into a workflow. And so then I trained a team member to do that. And as Google evolve, we update the system. So we're very much one for building our systems. And for anybody to be really successful in business, you have to adopt a system methodology, even if you're not wired that way. I'm blessed, great. But even if you're not wired that way, you can start to just document things. That's all it is, step by step.
And I agree with you totally. I am not wired that way. I am terrible. Mm. I am Mr. Scatter, Mr. Creative, and I go all over the place. But I've learned over the years that what you're just saying there is so true, and you've really just got to discipline yourself there. And I just started very simply. I think I used Notion. And every time I did something, I went, oh, what did I do in that step? I started writing it down. Yep. Eventually, doing what you do, find these systems.
Absolutely. Look, even if you start in a Word doc or a notepad or whatever, and then use Loom videos, I mean, that's just the greatest tool on the planet, you know, short monitor video screens.
I'm just writing that down.
Loom. Loom is your friend, let me tell you. And we educate clients to do it because, you know, they'll send through a support ticket, want us to correct something, and they're trying to describe it. Mm. But, you know, maybe our interpretation of what they're writing down isn't right, so we've then got to respond to them and it takes longer. And whereas if they do a Loom video screenshot of what they're seeing, and then we go, got it. And so we can respond quicker, resolve the issue quicker, and everybody's a happy camper. So Loom is your friend.
Well, and I'm just going to echo this because, and everyone, look, Peter, I've got a lot of admiration for Peter, and we were actually chatting about websites, and I said to him, you know, I'm just terrible. I got to have something visual. So I've actually done what, I didn't use Loom videos. I've actually just put all these, like you call it a color brochure. So it doesn't do anything, doesn't work properly, but it's a color brochure. But I can just now give it to you. Because I understand if I can give it to you visually, your skill set and your knowledge ratio, now I can see what he's after. Now I can see. But you said to me, and we had a conversation, I said to you what I was doing and what I'm going to do. And then you went, but my very first question to you, Michael, is going to be, what was that question?
Who's visiting your website? What customer journey, user experience?
The one. What is going to be your customer journey? And that took me right back to basics. And you go, I forgot that bit. Anyone's listening going, oh, I remember that. Hey, join the club. Yeah.
Look, it's so important, you know, because when you look at your website, and that's where I bring the distinction between an online brochure style site and a high performing site. An online brochure style really is for the people who need a site so that they have a web presence, so people can go and do their due diligence, know the business is legit, they might be getting the job via tender or whatever. And look, there's a place for that in the marketplace. However, if somebody comes to your website, they're clearly interested in what you have to offer, what you do. So you've got to try and find some way to engage with them. So if you step back a pace, then who's coming to your website? Are they new visitors? Do they already know about you? Are they returning visitors? You know, do you need to cater for returning visitors a lot with fresh information, depending on the business? Mm. So all those things need to be considered. But quite often people come to us and they say, oh, look, you know, we've got a problem. We need to get more clients. And then I have a look at the site. And, one of the questions is, you know, is it actually a conversion problem or is it a traffic problem? Because quite often people think, oh, I'm not getting enough visitors.
Mm.
But sometimes we find they actually are. But the website's not set up in a way to convert unknown prospects into known prospects.
No.
And so it's a conversion problem. And so they're getting enough traffic. They just need to look at how are they going to engage with those people. And there's, you know, different strategies for those depending on the business model.
Mm. You know, you said that to me, and I remember looking at some sites for clients and consulting work and helping them grow their business. And I actually looked at their website and went, I actually don't know what you do. It was just pretty.
I know, right? It's quite – I've done that in the last week. I've looked at about four or five sites and it's – and there's that in, because they reckon you've got something like 8 seconds so that people know exactly where they are and that you can solve their problem or at least start to address their issue. Boom, 8 seconds. And I've looked at these sites and it's like, okay, I think you do consulting, but I have no idea in what genre, what niche. And then I scroll down the site and I've scrolled up the site and it's like, okay, bored. You know, like they're just leaving so much money on the table, it's bordering on ridiculous. It's embarrassing. And look, that leads to another thing. People think, because building a website is quite traumatic, like you need to gather a lot of information.
Oh, yes.
And we've had people pay us money and then walked away and literally not answered any of our questions, because clearly we need to sort of do a frontal lobotomy, get all of that information from you so that we can start to craft the message towards that target market. Yeah. You know, and you've got to be mindful. We've all got A, B, C, D great clients. Well, we want A. When you're starting out in business, you might take D, but you want to aim for A and you've got to, you know, lift the game. But anyway, so I got sidetracked there. I've totally forgotten what I was saying.
It's about going to the sites and not knowing what they were about.
Yeah, just no clarity. But the point I was going to make was that people, it is a big project. You've got to really stop and think about your business in a way that you've never otherwise done that.
Mm.
And working with, you know, like our process, our briefing systems, everything else, really helps a business owner to stop and think. And that's brilliant because then you get clarity. However, once you've been through all that trauma and the website's built and it's launched and it's happy days, you know, you can't just sit at your desk and wait for the phone to ring. You've got to always be active marketing, you know, whether it's via Google, whether it's via social networking. And this is where I see people missing out on opportunities all the time. We're both consumer networkers and we go out and we gather business cards. And we do what with them? Are we building a database? Are we building our business? Because you know what? The value of our business is actually in our database and our marketing assets. That's where we're building the value. And we've got to constantly be striving for that.
Yes. So that is fantastic. And I am conscious of your time. And I want to dig into a little bit about your attitude to building your own business. What is it you brought to it? And what is your attitude about building your business? And I think earlier on you said you had a certain image you wanted your business to be like.
Look, I was really clear on that, but I had no idea what the business vehicle was going to be. So it had to be portable and scalable. Mm. And so when I made that decision, you know, and I thought, well, hang on, I'm gifted at marketing. I joined a local mentoring, masterminding group, and I saw all these people talking about this marketing stuff. And even though I'd built up quite a massive business, I'd never thought of myself as a marketer. It was language that was foreign to me. It was just a thing I did. Yeah. And so then I thought, well, okay, I can apply myself to that. But then I sort of quickly realized, and it was a line I saw on the internet, actually. Sit at your kitchen table in your underwear and make money online while you sleep, or something like that.
Sounds like a Dan Kennedy quote.
Yeah, exactly. I think it probably was. And anyway, I saw it. A continuity model, you know, because this was new language, new thinking, and we're going back, you know, it's been 17 years. And I was like, I like that. And so then I thought, well, okay, what service can I provide that will provide them with what they need, that they will become a continuous client? And websites is great, but I get the gig, I deliver the gig, I get paid for the gig, and that's the end of the story. But it's not, because I do hosting, I do managed support, we do marketing, we do SEO, we do social. We've got all these continuity programs that help business owners make money. If I can help somebody make money, you know, if it costs them $1,000 to make $5K or $10K, how often are they going to spend $1,000? Well, yeah, every other day. So it's a win-win scenario.
Yeah.
But getting back to your original question just there was, you know, the portable and scalable thing. You know, I quickly realized that as I scaled my business, that I needed other people to do things. So I did a pretty rudimentary path, you know, because at the end of every day, and I think we can all relate to this, you get to the end of the day and my wife would say, how was your day? And I'd say, well, I didn't get as much done as what I wanted. And that was what I said every day.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd look back at my day and it's like, where did the time go? Oh, and so then I thought, yeah, oh, hang on, let's start tracking it. Okay, so I spent half of the day doing support activities for clients, you know, 2 hours doing admin, you know, an hour doing this. And so it was just loose time tracking. And mm-hmm. I quickly realized that half of my day, every day, was gone in support. Well, I can hire somebody to do that, and they're going to do a better job than me. So right, that's what I did. And then bookkeeping was the next one. Oh, hallelujah. Like, you can pay people to do that.
I know. I'm with you on that one. Gosh, you can have that.
Yeah, yeah. So, and that's what I've done. I've got a really great team. And now, you know, there's also a shift now with going from 6 to 12. I have to manage differently.
Yeah, well, that's and a 100% so increase.
Yeah, it's pretty massive year, yeah, like in turnover, but also in learning, because although I've got all of these systems and workflows and processes and all of that's great, like I haven't delivered production for quite a few years. Somebody said to me the other day, what was it they said? It was, how do I even get the time to work because of the amount of networking and events I go to?
Mm-hmm.
And then it was followed by, oh yeah, that's right, you don't actually have to do the work. And it was like, oh yeah, I'd forgotten about that, because, you know, our journey is, you know, if we look back a year ago to what we were doing in our business, to a year before that and a year before that, you know, we've all grown.
Well, yes,
that's the plan anyway.
That's the plan.
Yeah, yeah.
So you actually have a line. We actually had a chat about this and you gave me a line. I can't remember. It was something about employing the people to do.
Get people to do what you can't do.
Yeah.
Or don't want to do. Yeah, yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. And you've made a real business strategy out of that. Employing people who can do what you can do so you don't have to do it. That was one of the lines. And then employing people who can do what you can't do so you can grow. And I just thought, wow, just those two lines alone gives business owners something really to bite on, to grow with.
Yeah, absolutely. And then, you know, looking for opportunities within your business and within your team. I'll give you an example. I've had a project manager who's just clicked over 5 years with me last year, and she's a real asset She wanted to have a child. She still wanted to stay on. She needed to take maternity leave. Mm-hmm. So that all happened. And she came back to work quite quickly, but she organised her own replacement. So we hired another project manager. She trained that project manager. She kept checks on that project manager. So I didn't have anything to do with it. They self-managed it between them, which was absolutely awesome. Like, how good is it your team can train your new team members? Like, and they've built out this onboarding system for all team members ever since. It's absolutely gold. In fact, when this project manager, been with me 5 years, was onboarding a new marketing manager, she said to him, "Mark, welcome to the last job you'll ever have." Wow. And I got to say, I was pretty chuffed because my team are very solid. Anyway,
that's huge.
So this project manager did all the training for the new project manager. Then when she came back full time, I realized I'd read a book called Systemology. And he mentions in there, David Jennings mentioned in there, that you should have a systems champion. And it was like, oh, yes, that's what I need, because I'm systems driven, systems yes. focused, yeah. but I can't physically do it all the time as I've grown the team. Mm. So then we've nominated her to be responsible for that. Wow. So we're very clear about everybody's role. So she was on a call with two of my team and called me in this morning to check off on some suggested changes. So they're doing it. They're finding what needs to be updated. They're just running it by me as a final check for yep. dependencies. And the system is now, you know, at a level, it just gets better. And I suppose that's key. Two takeaways. Mm. Your systems will never, ever be finished. They just need to continually evolve. And some people say to me, oh, what software do you use? It doesn't matter. I can share that. But people will go off and start looking at the software as if the software is going to solve the problem. Mm. No, the software makes it easier. It doesn't solve the problem.
Doesn't solve it.
You can't write it down on a bit of paper, then it's not going to move forward anyway. So just make note, start somewhere.
Yeah.
And the other takeaway, I suppose, is with your website. And I mentioned this earlier, you know, that it's a big project. And when it's finished, it's not finished. It's actually only the beginning. Great, your website's now done.
Yep.
And you based all the decisions, if it's a high-performing website, based on, you know, the ideal customer journey, the user experience, all of that. And that's all very well and good. But do people click where you think they should click? And sometimes it's actually not the case. No. Do we have time for me to share a quick example?
Yep, we do.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Cool. So very high-end client, investing a lot of money into marketing, does very high-end custom home builds in a energy efficiency. And on his homepage, got a great slowly playing video that scrolls through, showcasing his work, super impressive. He's got in the center hero area of the homepage, he's got two call-to-action buttons. And up the top right, he's got a contact us button.
Yeah.
So the two hero buttons in the center, you would think they're the ones that are going to get the most click-throughs because they're the ones where he designed that with that in mind. Mm-hmm. However, our tracking shows that the contact us button shoved up in the top right is getting a 10-to-1 click-through rate.
Wow.
So that tells you that if they click on that button and they're taking the journey you want them to, that's okay. However, they're missing out on traffic on the other buttons, and I'm going to make a recommendation that he simply changes the three words that are there to prompt people to click on there because that's actually a better customer journey.
Right.
So you can make all these decisions, but then people are going to do what people do. And who do you need to talk to? Well, the people.
You do.
You know? Because everything we do online is for two entities, people and search engines. Well, yeah.
So talking about that and watching your clock, I know you're on time, but that's a great finish because who do you need to talk to? You need to talk to the people. Peter, they need to talk to you. And I'm a huge fan. So, hey, I make no bones about this. I'm a huge fan of what you guys do at Smarter Websites. How do they contact you and begin that customer journey?
Okay, so you can email me at peter@smarterwebsites.com.au. Or you can phone 0481 613 997.
Absolutely.
81613997.
There we go. Peter Butler, Smarter Websites. I really appreciate your time. Thanks very much, mate.
Excellent. Thanks, Michael. Great to be on the call with you.